Okay, so well, Rav Amital, when he built the yeshiva, when he thought about the concept of Hesder, and he was thinking about this new model called Hesder, there were a lot of changes he wanted to make to the classic yeshiva system, while still retaining the core DNA of the yeshiva world. And one of them, which I'll talk a little bit about today, was crucial. But as with everything that Rav Amital wrote, you can't just clip and paste it from 1968 or any time, because his pieces were very periodic. They had to do with the time. And we're in a very different time than we used to be. It's hard for me sometimes, people just quote Rav Amital 30 years after he wrote something and just assume you could just slipstream it right in. So we'll talk about the idea, we'll talk about the parsha, we'll talk about the revolution, we'll talk about why I think you guys don't even know it's a revolution and therefore we have to be careful about employing it. Okay. In the yeshiva world, especially in the modern yeshiva world, there was always a attempt to heroicize people who learned Torah, and sometimes at the expense of people who didn't learn Torah. Part of Reb Chaim Volozhin's revolution and part of his polemic against Hasidus is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, and if you're learning Torah, you're affecting Olamos Elyonim, and you're changing the entire cosmos and the eternal, irreplaceable value of every minute of Torah. And at some point that led, and Rav Aaron would talk to us about this a lot also, to a depreciation of people that didn't learn Torah. So it was an inflation of people who did learn Torah in a healthy way, because we all believe in that. But it led to a case of have and have-nots. That if you're in the yeshiva world, you're a Talmud Chacham, you're learning, you're supporting the world. If you're outside of the yeshiva, there was a word for it when I was growing up. In Yiddish, it's called you're an oisvarf. You're an outcast. Ois means out, varf, throw. You're an oisvarf. You don't really register. And Rav Aaron told us that after World War I in Europe, where there was an economic collapse, and the people in Eastern Europe suffered the most because they were at the bottom of the food chain, and yeshiva bachrim suffered the most because they were being supported by others. So there was a reaction to that. Because the station of the yeshiva bachrim descended so low, there was an attempt to even more inflate the value of the yeshiva bachrim. When I say inflate, I don't mean artificially. Augment is a better word. Sometimes at the cost of regular average Jews. You have this break. You see it very powerfully in the Ashkenazi world because of the yeshiva movement. In the Sephardic world, you don't really have so much. Sephardic world, it's all a band. People learn, people don't learn, everyone's together. There's less of a division. And you can really see, if you want to see what the Ashkenazic world was like in 1800, look at the Sephardim. All the changes in the Ashkenazic world skipped over the Sephardim. They didn't go through the Muslim movement, they didn't go through the Yeshiva movement, they didn't go through Hasidus, they didn't go through the Holocaust. A lot of them, they didn't go through Reform Conservative Judaism. So a lot of the changes that, for better or for worse, impacted the Ashkenazi world just didn't really affect the Sephardi world. This is really one of them, one aspect of the yeshiva world. And Rav Amital set out to change that. And this is something that to me was a revolution, because I came from the yeshiva world and I heard a lot of negativity towards people who are not learning, who are not in the yeshiva, who are not in the base medrash. So let's talk a little bit about this, and for those who came a little bit late, why I think it's not so relevant anymore today. Okay, so the medrash introduces Sari Menu. And Sari Menu, her years are stipulated very, very carefully. Why, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years? So the Medrash comments poetically, Yodeh Hashem Tamimim. Hashem recognizes the Tamimim. Tamimim could mean complete, that her years will live completely. Every year was lived to the max, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. You made Tamimim. Then it says, Zu Sarashi Tamimah B'maseha. She was complete. She was perfect. So it's just like she was perfect. Her years are counted perfectly, not just lumped together. Amr Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, you know how her perfection was conveyed? Kehada eglisa tamima, like a complete perfect cow. I don't know. It's not the way I would. Not the way I would liken Sarah. She was so perfect. She was like a red cow, a complete cow, perfect cow, or a perfect calf. Not really a cow, a calf. Eglis. I thought it was a cow because the paraduma. Eglis is a calf. Why eglisa tamima? So Rav Amital thought that Eglisa Tamima, a calf, was a young sheep. Young sheep? Young, what's... Young?
Cow?
No, calf. Young calf. A young cow, not a cow. Calf. That Sarah was the epitome of a simple, innocent, but perfect through her innocence and less ruined by sophistication example. And how do you know this? Because Sarah never has nevuah. Hashem never speaks to Sarah. And the only time he half speaks to Sarah, she laughs and she scorns. When the information comes in Lech Lecha, which she hears about secondhand through Avram, so it's an indirect nevuah, she can't handle it. She's not able to make sense of it. Yet in Parshas Vayera, Kol Asher Tomar Elecha Sarah Shema Bikola. Whatever Sarah tells you, Avram, listen to her. And Rashi says that from here we see that Avram was tafel to Sarah to nevuah. How could that be? Avram's speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu left and right. He's seeing the stars. He's on Har Moriah. He's hearing Shavuos. Sarah's just walking around, making challah, making food, being in the tent, laughing the only time Hashem speaks to her. And yet Hashem tells Avram, Sarah's nevuah is superior to yours. So for Rav Amital, this was Hashem telling Avram that as sophisticated as you are as a Navi, and Avram was very sophisticated, knew all world religions, he had studied all world religions, to be a Navi, the Rambam says in Mar Nevuchim, to study and perfect your moral character through trial and error and exposure. Sarah was just a Tamim. She was just internally, inherently pure, and because of that she was more complete, and specifically in her maternal instincts, which you can't teach. You can't teach maternal instincts. And this episode with Avram and Yitzchak and Yishmael is about maternal instincts. You can read in books about good and evil, and good children and bad children, and who I should send away, who I shouldn't send away, and girls would say, fakak, and your sophisticated ideas, but she sees her son Yitzchak suffering, and she has a pure, simple, Moshe, Sephardi, maternal instinct that knows Yitzchak's the one, Yishmael is to be sent away. That's why Dafke here, Avram has to defer to Sarah. So for Rav Amital, this seemed like the perfect portrait as of what he called the Yehudi Pashut, the simple Jew who hasn't been to yeshiva, but just has a purity and an innocence and a clarity of morality and isn't ruined by moral relativism, word I'm using. Doesn't watch all the newscasts and see three different opinions about everything. This is my explanation of it. And interestingly enough, Rav Amital grew up that way. He would always take pride in the fact that his father wasn't a Rebbe and his father wasn't a particularly sophisticated person. His father's a wood chopper. He worked in a wood chopping, wood chopping hut. And he would come home every day after a hard day's work and he'd sit at the table and all of his children would express their ideas and views. And Rav Amital would tell us his father would answer to everything, no. He didn't have anything to say. Aha! He'd have all these little sounds. And Rav Amital said he understood from his father more wisdom from those little sounds that he made than as if his father had written books and treaties. His father just was, he didn't have much to say, but he had this hard nose, salt of the earth, grounded, lunchbox type, metal hat type worker. And Rav Amital throughout his life didn't want to be the rabbi of Givat Mordechai. He lived in Givat Mordechai, we daven. He's very close with the Balabatim there, but he didn't want to be the Rav of the Shul. In part because he just wanted to be part of the Hamona, part of the Yudipash. I didn't want to be sitting somewhere, either literally or figuratively, up on a pedestal where you wouldn't get that sense of who is the Yudipash. Rav Amital told us that, and this is before Bar Ilan, that the following phrase appears 180 times in Shas. Morta. What's the phrase? Kida Amri Inshi, like people say. Now, Kida Amri Inshi is very different than the Gemara quoting Rabbi Abba, or quoting Rabbi Yochanan, or quoting Rabbi Rav and Shmuel. Kida Amri Inshi means people, the regular Pshutei Am, the regular Jews out there, this is what they have to say, Kida Amri Inshi. So, what does this all mean? So I said earlier, those who came a little bit late, again, let's try to come as early as possible so that everyone can not lose time for breakfast, is that, again, in the yeshiva world, there was this sense that if you learn all day, and you spend your time all day reading Svarim and Davening with, then you're of a higher spiritual, not just person, but spiritual nature and spiritual wisdom than those who don't enter the yeshiva. And there's a real disdain. And I've told boys in my share this phrase, which really rankles me, but it's a phrase which is in every yeshiva. What's the opposite of brisker thinking, of lamdasha thinking? Have you ever heard? Oh, that's a balabatasha thought. That's what balabatim would say. And I know what they mean, but I hate the phrase. I know the content could be, it's not categorical, it's not abstraction, it's not developing ideas, it's just, you know, rounding out numbers rather than creating categories. But to say that's the way Balabatim think is creating an inherent disparagement of Balabatim. And Rav Amital would speak with us a lot about the beauty and the tamimus of a Yehudi Pashut, of a Pashut Yid, and Sarah was the classic example, that her tamimus in the matter is described like a simple, innocent calf that hasn't lived long enough and has a pure, pristine innocence, and that's why her nevuah, she doesn't have nevuah, but her intuition overrides Avram's decision. Now, why I think it's a little bit dated is, How many of you even heard about the disdain for the Baal Batim? Because you didn't even get to the stage, I don't mean you because you're 18 years old. I mean, how many people, we've lost that sense. People that don't grow up in the Yeshiva Shevelt, they don't have that. We just grew up with Baal Batim, and we assume that the apex is to be a good Baal Bas. I mean, how many of your education even started to challenge that convention and that paradigm and say, you have to be Yeshiva Baruch, you have to spend your whole time in Yeshiva learning. If you don't learn, you're a waste, and your life will be wasted, and you'll be an Oisvarf, and you'll be a Baal Bas and Chas V'Shalom. And then you have to be careful not to use those terminology. So for us, just to simply parrot Rav Amitai, yeah, I want to be a good Baal Bas and a simple Baal Bas and wonderful with a great Baal Batim, it's a little bit missing the point. He was responding to a world in which there's real tension and drive and energy to learn, and a real tension and drive and energy that learning Torah was cosmically more important than anything you could possibly do. And that if you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu Umaram Garleinu, and Shifti Beis Hashem Kari Mechayat, I wish I could spend every minute there, but there's another group of people out there that aren't zochot to come to the Beis Medrash, and they have their own wisdom, and we should respect them. And but I think that sometimes in our community, we haven't even had that pressure. Saying Rav Amital's statement is a way of trying to avoid that pressure. Oh yeah, I want to be a Yehudi Pashut. Why should I even think about being someone that's driven towards Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam when I could just be a Yehudi Pashut? So I think that sometimes when you read Rav Amital, you have to put it in context, see, well, what's changed since then, either culturally or historically. Culturally means Rav Amital was talking to people who wanted to go to Panevish or wanted to go to Mir, or at least were influenced by that whole world, and were saying, be careful, pump the brakes. In that world, there may be, he didn't say it this way, but I'm just framing it for you, there may be too much of a disparaging of Baal Batim. And our world, sadly enough, I'm not sure that we even have that tension in our lives, but at least appreciate what Rav Amital tried to create. And this is a yeshiva, like most yeshivas of the modern era. I don't think this is now unique to Hesder. I think there's a healthy respect for Baal Batim, and healthy respect sometimes that too much information can create too much sophistication, not enough simplicity and simple truth. If you want, maybe tomorrow, I don't have it with me now, I'll read a little section from Rabbi Sacks, the Chorona Levracha, who was Niftar yesterday, which he talks about two of the simple influences on his life, two of the people he met in his life that are very simple people, his father and some other person who escaped the Holocaust. And his point was, you don't always have to be the most sophisticated person, and sometimes that artifice can strip away some of your purity. Okay? So tomorrow we'll read a little bit from this text, and then we'll get back to Chassid. Oh, I'm not here tomorrow, sorry. Tuesday. I'm not here tomorrow. I have a bris with my grandson in Mitzvah. So on Tuesday, we'll read a little bit of Rabbi Sacks, and then we'll do Chassidus on Wednesday.